Good morning, everyone. What a wonderful day to come to the house of the Lord. The beautiful sight outside, and then to be indoors where it's warm and just enjoy the Lord. There's two people that I want to show respect and honor to, and it's kind of like a birthday wish, but it's really not their birthday. It's actually their death day. Now you say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? January 13, 1560 was the day that John Lasky passed away. He was born in 1499, died in 1560, month of January. He was a Polish Protestant reformer. He had to flee for his life on the accession of the Roman Catholic Queen Mary. Now, here's the thing. We forget certain people in history. Some of the great reformers who stood for this book, who were evangelists, who shared evangelism with everybody they came in contact with. And another one that I want to talk about for just a couple of minutes is John Rogers. Now, some say he died January 29. Some say it was February 4. But I want to say it was the month of January. And John Rogers, just to share with you, and I want to encourage you, when you have a chance, this is a good Sabbath afternoon activity, go on the internet and put some of the reformers' names on the internet and see what all you will find. It's amazing what you find. Listen to this. On the morning of his martyrdom, he was roused hastily in his cell in Newgate and hardly allowed time to dress himself. He was then led forth to Smithfield on foot, within sight of the church of St. Sepulchre, where he had preached, and through the streets of the parish where he had done the work of a pastor. By the wayside stood his wife and 10 children, one a baby, whom Bishop Bonner, in his diabolical cruelty, had flatly refused him leave to see in prison. He just saw them, but was hardly allowed to stop, and then walked on calmly to the stake, repeating the 51st Psalm. An immense crowd lined the street and filled every available spot in Smithfield. Up to that day, men could not tell how English reformers would behave in the face of death, and could hardly believe that the dignitaries would actually give their bodies to be burned for their religion. But when they saw John Rogers, the first martyr, walking steadily and unflinchingly into a fiery grave, the enthusiasm of the crowd knew no bounds. They rent the air with thunders of applause. Even the French ambassador wrote home a description of the scene and said that Rogers went to death as if he was walking to his wedding. By God's mercy, he died with comparative ease, and so the first Marian martyr passed away. Why do I share this with you? These are men and women, over 50 million of them, that stood for this book. And these were the men that made it possible for us to have the Bible today in our language so we can share with one another and with the world. Because, you see, I believe that God wants us all to be evangelists, amen? All to be ministers, all to have fun in ministry. Now, some of you may be asking, that usually happens when I move into a new district, what kind of guy is this? I mean, car shows, motorcycle shows, this and that. I mean, this is out of the norm. But I want to tell you something. As long as we don't cross the line, I think we should be doing everything we possibly can to be involved with people. You read in the Bible, Jesus wined and dined with some of the meanest people around. Even the Bible talks about some of these people and how the Lord loved them. He didn't come to save the righteous, but the sinners. And brothers and sisters, God has called me, has called you to be a witness, to share the gospel with everyone we come in contact with. And it doesn't matter what they look like, they're candidates for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Take your Bibles. Go with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And notice what the Word says. Luke chapter 22. And look here at verse 32. Jesus is speaking to Peter. And He says something that is for every one of us here today. Luke 22, 32. But I have prayed for thee that thou faith fail not. And when thou art, what's that next word? Converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now I want to tell you, we can be witnesses whether we're converted or not. But to be a right witness, we must know the one we're witnessing about. And that is Jesus Christ. God has called me. He's called you to stand up for this book. One of the greatest commissions ever given in the Bible is in Matthew chapter 28. You probably know it by heart, but I want to turn to it. If you like, you can turn also. Matthew chapter 28, and look here at verse 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus says this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Jesus has called each one of us to be a witness, to go and teach the world. You know, there's a saying, there's two things the Lord asks us to do. Only two. One is go, or I should say, one is come to Him, and the other is go for Him. So come and go. And that's something that God has called us all to do, to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never forget the wife. She was raised a Seventh-day Adventist. Husband didn't attend church. He didn't want anything to do with church. Actually, she had stopped attending years ago. They get a brochure in the mail. This is down in Charleston, South Carolina. They come to the meetings. The husband, after the first meeting, couldn't wait. He wanted to go to the second meeting and the third meeting and the fourth meeting and right on through. He was actually bringing his Adventist wife to the meetings. And at the end of that series of meetings, he said, "I want to follow Jesus all the way." And she rededicated her life, and we had the privilege of baptizing both of them. I want to tell you, there are people out there just waiting to be gathered in. And that's what God says. Go with me to Joel. What a tremendous book on this subject. Joel chapter 3. And he says something about what's happening in the world. Joel chapter 3. And here in the book of Joel, you're going to find something that is so, so beautiful. Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, "Multitudes, multitudes in what? In the valley of decisions." The Lord doesn't just say a few people or multitudes. He says multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. That means that there are people out there in the world that are just waiting. They're looking for something better. And I want to tell you something. I don't know of any other group like the Seventh-day Adventist Church to give something that is so beautiful and so real. Because here's what we have. Yes, a lot of churches preach about the spiritual part. You hear it on Sunday. If you watch TV, you can see these people preaching the spiritual part. But God has given to this church, not only do we preach the spiritual, but God wants us to tell them about the physical and the mental. And the mental is one part that we leave out so often. And God wants us to share the whole man. Because that's what God has given us in His Word. Amen? Here's another verse, Matthew chapter 9. Go with me to Matthew chapter 9. There's so much in the Bible about witnessing and sharing. But in Matthew 9, look at verse 37. And this is Jesus speaking. I must start with verse 36 first of all. Matthew 9, 36. "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few." And then Jesus Himself, our Lord and our Savior, says to us, pray this prayer. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Think about it for a minute. What would happen if every one of us would begin to share with people at work, our friends, our relatives, neighbors, start sharing with them that Jesus loves them, that Jesus is coming again. Friends, something would begin to happen. If 12 disciples, without the multimedia, without television, radio, and newspaper, and the printed page, and all of that, if 12 disciples can take the gospel to the known world, try to imagine what this group here could do with everything we have to share the gospel. And the gospel will go. I'll never forget, it was a Baptist minister. He walked into our meetings one night, just down the road here, a little place called, anybody know where Wahala is? Just down Highway 11, that beautiful scenery down to Seneca. We were conducting a series of meetings. And the night, that particular night, I'm preaching on the subject of the Sabbath. And I noticed a lot of visitors there that night. But after the meeting was over, this minister comes up to the front to me and he says, I'm a Baptist minister. And he said, I want to talk with you for just a few minutes. And he opens up his Sunday school quarterly. And he turns it to a certain page and he hands it to me. He says, read this. And I read and it says, commandment number 3, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Did you catch that? Commandment number 3? No, it's really commandment number 4 in the Bible. But you see, the Sunday school quarterly had changed it to the third one, just like the Catholic Church had done. And this Baptist minister said, I'm here to stay. And I said, praise the Lord. And I had the privilege of baptizing he and his wife a few weeks later. And today they're very active in that little church right there, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what happened was, it's kind of interesting. He continued to preach on Sunday for some time. He'd preach on Sunday in the Baptist church, be at our church on Sabbath, sharing with them the truths found in this book. Till finally, you know what happened. And today he shares the gospel with everyone he comes in contact with. Then there's the Methodist minister. Because you see, these ministers of other faiths, many of them are looking and searching for truth. And we all should be. And this is the book that we should be searching in, is the Word of God. Not what somebody says, not what some theology school or something says, but what does the Bible say? We should be following God's Word. But this Methodist minister, I got to share this story with you. It was so unique and interesting how it happened. They've asked me to perform a funeral. I'm new in this district there in Maryland. And they told me that this particular funeral that I was going to be conducting, that another minister was going to be helping me. I said, well, that's fine. They said, well, one little problem, and it may not be a problem, he's a Methodist minister. And I started thinking, uh-oh, there could be a little problem because I'm going to be standing up there talking about the resurrection, and he's going to be up there talking about the individual being in heaven and looking down and enjoying themselves and so forth and so forth. But here I am, and it worked out pretty good. His remarks were beautiful. And so then we went from the church, the funeral part, and went out to the cemetery, which was about 20 miles away. And he had a few words he shared at the grave site, and then I had a few words, and we had prayers, and we're walking away, and I'm walking toward to the funeral home director because I rode out with them. And of course, this minister, he had driven his car. And on my way to get into the car with the funeral director, this Methodist minister says to me, hey, John, come here a minute. And he throws his keys to me. He says, I want you to drive my new car. Well, I looked over there, and it was a brand new Mercedes, and I didn't have any problem with that. You know, I mean, hey, how often do you get to drive a brand new Mercedes? And so I got into the driver's side, and he's on the passenger side, and I'm looking down at all the gadgets and the shiny stuff because it's brand new. And, oh, it felt good. And, you know, and so we pulled out of the cemetery and got on the main road. Now, it was about 20 minutes going back to the church where we're going to have lunch together with the family. And as we get on the road, the Methodist minister says to me, John, it's about 20 minutes back to the place. He said, I'm going to give you 20 minutes to tell me why I should be a Seventh-day Adventist. Well, I'll tell you something. I wanted to see how fast that thing would go, but I stretched it out. I went so slow in that car because I had a lot of verses to share with you. And I began to share and began to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth and the word. And by the time we got back to the fellowship hall, I had shared a lot. And he said to me, "Will you come to my home and share these things with my wife and my children?" I want to tell you, 3 months later, I had the privilege of baptizing he and his wife and their teenage son. What a blessing. And then he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, at his baptism, he says to me, as I'm getting ready to put him under the water, he says, "Now, John, I've never been baptized by immersion, so make it work." And so when I put him down, I remembered what he said. And so I put him on down to the bottom, put my knee on him just to make sure. And then when he came up, he said, "It worked, it worked." So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is to go to the world. You see, the doors are open for us to share Jesus with a perishing world. We need to be doing everything we can to reach people with the gospel. Because friends, listen, when you look around and you see your neighbors and you see your relatives and you see your friends, I want you to think about something. Is that individual ready to meet Jesus? Now, we can't judge them, but we've got to do all we can to help them to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Jesus is coming soon. I'll never forget the meeting we held at Fort Bragg. Over half the people attending our meeting were military. One couple preparing for baptism, the husband, the wife, had made a decision to be baptized. Now, just to see how things work, they're to be baptized on Friday night. Thursday, she has twins. 3 hours later, he is deployed to Iraq. Now, I understand that when everything got back together and all, they were baptized. But you know, the Lord is working on hearts. One soldier in this meeting told me his story. He was in Afghanistan. The Holy Spirit will not leave him alone. He's under conviction. After the convictions just keep on and keep on. He reads the Left Behind series, which was, well, whatever. He writes to the States to a friend who has been studying truth and is attending the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He writes back to the soldier explaining the truth about Jesus coming and the fallacies of Left Behind. The soldier comes home from Afghanistan, and this is his prayer: "Lord, send someone more, someone to show me the truth." And that's where we came in. Word ministry meeting started there at Fort Bragg. The soldier and his wife are baptized, and they're witnessing to everyone they come in contact with. The gospel is going. The gospel is reaching out to hearts. One lady had been to 3 evangelistic meetings. She had been attending. She had gone through these meetings, never made a decision for Jesus. When she saw the preacher coming toward her, she would always go the other way because she knew she had been through 3 meetings and that the pastor was going to ask her about a decision. So she went the other way. And I asked the pastor about this lady. He said, "Yeah, every time I try to talk to her about a decision, she goes the other way." So I said, "All right, we're going to corner her tonight." And so I watched when she came in, and she came in and she found a place in the pew, and there were several people on this side of her, so she was right there so she could get out real quick. So I went in on this side so she couldn't get out. And I began to share with her the love of Jesus and how it was time. She said, I've been fighting this, but I got to do it. I want to do it, yes. And we had the privilege of baptizing her. People hungering for the Word of God. Take your Bibles, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And listen to the words here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. "But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully Shall do what? What does that mean? That means that we should be doing everything and anything we can to reach people with the gospel. Amen? We've got to be on fire for Jesus. We've got to be telling people Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But listen closely to me. Before I can be a witness, before you can be a witness, I must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus said. Turn with me, John 15. Here's the way Jesus put it. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 5. Jesus says these words, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. What God is saying here, what Jesus is saying here is, He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. He's the one that must be our God. Amen. We must fall in love with Jesus Christ. But what do we tell people? What do we tell people? Hey, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and if you don't stop eating meat, and if you don't stop doing this and that, you're going to hell. Hey, that's not true, is it? Not at all. You know, when I first became, my wife and I became Christians in the Methodist Church, because it was the Methodist Church that told me, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And I never forgot that. And they helped me to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And then when we began to really get into the Bible, we found these wonderful truths that affect us physically, mentally, and spiritually. And my wife and I became Seventh-day Adventists together. And I thought, man, I've got to tell my family. I've got to warn my family. And I went to my mom and my dad and my brothers and sisters, and I told them, I said, if you don't start keeping the right Sabbath, you're all going to hell. Can you imagine what happened at that point? No, don't tell us anymore. Hey. And later I realized, yes, that might be truth about some of the things in the Bible, but listen, friends, we must share Jesus with them first. They must come to know Jesus, because it's not the Sabbath, it's not what you eat that saves you, it's Jesus Christ that saves you. And when we lead people to Jesus, things begin to happen. Jesus begins to change the heart. Yes, there are a lot of people. I got a sermon I'm going to preach one Sabbath, and it's about monsters in the church. And it's about people who have a head knowledge, but they haven't had that relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've got a lot of head knowledge and know all these truths and all these things about the Bible, but you don't know Jesus, and you get out there, and you know what you're going to tell people? You're not going to tell them about Jesus. You're going to be telling them about everything else but Jesus. But if we have Jesus and the knowledge, oh, my dear friends, we'll be able to reach out to people and share with them the love of Jesus Christ. Are you standing for Jesus? Are you standing up for that which is right and true? We've made up a little paper. Actually, the Pacific Press and Review and Herald and Adventist Book Center and others, they made up this little paper several years ago. And I'm going to give everybody a copy. Actually, one per family so we have enough. But it's titled, Dynamic Ways to Share Your Faith Through Literature. And it shows how to use books and literature and different things and how to do it the right way. Peter was one that he was a witness for Jesus, but you know what? Sometimes he did it the wrong way. I mean, can you imagine? Here comes a Roman soldier he's going to witness to, and he takes a sword and tries to cut his head off. What a witness! But Jesus takes his ear, puts it back on, and says, Peter, he that kills with a sword shall die by the sword. Peter was told real quick, hey, that's not the way you witness. And then Peter himself denies Jesus three times. You know the story. And then realizes who Jesus really is. And he comes on his knees and he says, Lord, forgive me. Come into my life. What a witness. Right witness, wrong witness. I've seen more people attempt to witness, and they witness in the wrong way, and they actually lead people away from the truth. You ever seen that? I grew up in a little church where we were baptized. And the one individual in the church, he was always, always going out and giving out literature on Sabbath afternoon and witnessing. One day he came to me and he said, "John, I don't know why it is. For years and years and years I've been handing out literature and I haven't seen any results." Now, I could pat him on the back and say, "Well, you know, here's the thing. You'll see all these people in heaven that have come up to you and say you were the first one to talk to them about Jesus." He said, "Oh, yeah." But then I said this to him: "If your method is not working, then be willing by the Holy Spirit to change your method." Because here was his method: "Hey, you better start keeping the Sabbath. Hey, you better start doing this or you're going to be lost." If a person doesn't know Jesus, that's not going to work. Are you hearing me? You see what I'm saying? Thank God for the truth in this book, from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation. It is just loaded with truth. But Jesus is the one we must tell people about. We lead them to Jesus, and then they're open to hear the truth found in this book, because they want to follow Jesus. They want to do right. And at the same time, we need to be standing up for our truths in a world that's about to collapse. One last story. Man and wife from Romania. He is now teaching and she is a doctor here in the United States. They were rebaptized, fell in love with Jesus Christ in her own fire, sharing stories about Jesus. But one day while in worship, and here's his story. He says, "One day while in worship at a Seventh-day Adventist church in Romania, soldiers came rushing in. They came to the front with guns pointed and they said, 'Whoever is not willing to die for your faith, those not really in love with the Seventh-day Adventist message and not truly committed, leave right now.' Many of them got up, walked out of the door, and never more to return. The true and faithful stayed there. Once all that was going to leave left, the soldier locked the door, walked up front with his machine gun and said, 'We are Seventh-day Adventists and we wanted to see how many infiltrators or communists were in this church. Now we know who the true believers are.' I ask you today, whose side are you on? Are we going to stand up for Jesus and be counted worthy to enter the kingdom of heaven? God, help us all to stand up for the truth and to share Jesus with everybody we come in contact with."
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.